When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia Elsie Tuttle, and I'm saving all my books for you. This is episode number 330 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple backlist titles that I'm excited to share with you. Hi, everyone! Since the last backlist I hosted, I took a couple days off work to attend FireCon for Fire Literary Magazine, which publishes speculative fiction from Black authors. The conference was virtual, and this was the second year that they've had one. I attended last year, too. I sit on Zoom for many hours each week in my day job, so I'm very cognizant of my bandwidth for additional virtual events. This conference was phenomenal. There had to be at least 100 panelists, and they were all Black, Indigenous, and people of color. It's so rare to go to a literary conference and have more than one BIPOC on a panel. And here I was sitting and watching panels that had 3 Black librarians, or 5 queer Black speculative fiction authors, or authors speaking from Brazil and Japan and India and the Philippines and New Zealand and Nigeria. Truly amazing. And I added so many books to my TBR. I was once again reminded how much I love short stories, and I really don't read enough of them. Maybe I should make some kind of concerted effort for next year. Anyway, I'm going to talk about books I have read. Before I get to my backlist book picks, let's hear from a sponsor. For my first pick today, I have Dungeon Critters by Natalie Reese and Sarah Goder. I adore this middle grade graphic novel. It's about an adventuring party a la Dungeons & Dragons, but all the characters are animals. I'm totally biased because in my weekly Dungeons & Dragons game, we are also animal characters. My character is a cat and a fighter. Imagine a Norwegian forest cat with many sharp weapons and a warhammer. That's me. Dungeon Critters has 4 main characters in the adventuring party. There is Prince Chirp, who is a frog, and she has pushed aside her royal duties to be a part of this adventuring party and to go on quests and get in fights and crack some really awful jokes because she is immature. There is Rose, a cat who can summon fire, which just ends up with a lot of things on fire. Rose also has amazingly terrible puns. Rose has a crush on June. June, short for Juniper, is a golden retriever. She is also the party's druid and plant expert and the healer, who is basically just anxious all the time and cleaning up after Prince Chirp and Rose. She is consistently the most logical, level-headed, and risk-averse character. Finally, there is Goro, the mussel. He is incredibly kind-hearted and a few words. Don't worry, Chirp and Rose have lots of words for everyone. Goro is maybe an anthropomorphic snake with arms and legs? Kinda lizardy, but bipedal? This book is super inclusive around gender and sexuality, and I appreciate that it is what it is without tiresome explanation. Prince Chirp is a prince and uses she/her pronouns. Rose wears very dapper clothing and has a budding romance with June. Of course, they don't say this out loud, and it just makes for a ton of awkward interactions. The book starts with a terrifying, tentacled, thorned, poisonous plant that the dungeon critters are fighting. It's controlled by a necromancer, and they're fighting him too. Yes, they win and rescue Timbers, a little toad who is a big fan of the dungeon critters. Timbers swiped an envelope from Jeremy. Yes, the necromancer is some weird horned lizard named Jeremy. The envelope contains an invitation from the Baron to a party. Chirp knows the Baron. The Baron is Chirp's lifelong arch nemesis, and she insists that they all put on disguises and go to this party to investigate. When they show up, of course, things don't go as planned. Juniper gets mistaken for someone who looks like her, someone who has been keeping up correspondence with the Baron. Things get extra festive from there. This story is fun and exciting and multi-layered. Yes, it's an adventuring party. There's adventure. But it's also about relationships too, and growing up, and friends and family, and found family. And it's also hilarious. I laughed out loud multiple times. It's Dungeon Critters by Natalie Reese and Sarah Goder. For my second pick today, I have Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. This book came out in 2013, and I think it's probably been on my TBR that long, and I finally read it this past summer. Wow. I have been deeply affected by this book. The way I perceive and relate to the world around me has been changed irreversibly. I happened to listen to the audiobook, and I can vouch for it. It's excellent on audio, as it is narrated by the author. Braiding Sweetgrass is simultaneously absolutely beautiful and wildly anger-inducing. One of academia's many problems is that there is no wiggle room for studying something outside of a rigid set of rules. Don't get me wrong, I appreciate the scientific method, and also, there are other ways of learning about the world around us. Dr. Kimmerer is a biologist, environmental scientist, decorated professor, mother, and an enrolled member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation. Before I read this book, I imagined that trying to bridge the gap between indigenous wisdom and scientific knowledge would be like trying to walk a tightrope. Dr. Kimmerer makes it clear that it's actually more like examining something that's woven. They aren't two separate thoughts and instead are intimately related, as if they're woven into each other. I admit, I haven't read nearly enough books by Indigenous authors, and this book rocked my world. Even just the idea of thinking of everything in the world as a gift instead of a commodity to hoard. When something is free, many of us will take what we need and not be greedy, unless you weren't raised right. Yes, I have opinions. I remember being in North Carolina years ago at a grocery store that always had free cookies, and it worked because people would just take a single cookie and respect that other people may want cookies too. How different would the world be if we only take what we needed? In fact, when used for ceremonies at powwows, sweetgrass cannot be bought. It must be a gift. It must be given freely. Later in the book, Dr. Kimmerer walks us through some research of hers and her grad students about sweetgrass and the symbiotic relationship between the sweetgrass and humans. It must be shared from the earth and harvested to survive. I was particularly enamored by the section on sugar maples and what it takes to make maple syrup, and heartbroken to read about how they're in danger. I really appreciated these sections on salmon on the West Coast where I am, and learning about all the awful effects humans have had. I hear about this in a nebulous, general, I know capitalism and colonizers are awful kind of way, but this book taught me about what happened and what can be done to reverse the damage and how some people are trying. I also unexpectedly appreciated the section on hunting. I have always been curious about ways of viewing hunting that are ethical. Yes, I know there are people who will argue that there are no ethical ways of hunting, I am aware. In fact, the author herself states, when talking about a fur trapper, quote, "I have to confess that I'd shuttered my mind before I even met him. There was nothing a fur trapper could say that I wanted to hear." I was also hugely skeptical, but I went along for the ride and kept reading, and my brain has expanded in some new ways. There is also a beautiful chapter about the author cleaning the pond on her property to create a swimming hole for her daughters. And the chapter on three sisters gardening blew my mind. Like, I know theoretically if you plant certain plants near each other, they have, again, a symbiotic relationship. But the way that the author so gently and clearly explains it is some of the best reading I've done this year. I love this book so, so much, and I hope you do too. It's Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. That's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. A special thank you to my totally awesome audio editor, Jen Zink, and thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/all the books. Remember, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us, and thank you to those of you who already have. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheInfophile, as in the lover of information, spelled TheInfophile. In the meantime, have a safe weekend, drink some water, and happy reading.